Psalm 80, verses 7 to 19. Bring us back, Almighty God. Show us your mercy, and we will be saved. You brought a grapevine out of Egypt. You drove out other nations and planted it in their land. You cleared a place for it to grow. Its roots went deep, and it spread all over the whole land. It covered the hills with its shade. Its branches overshadowed the great cedars, extended its branches to the Mediterranean Sea and as far as the Euphrates River. Why did you break it down the fence around it? Now anyone passing can steal its grapes. Wild hogs trample it down, and wild animals feed on it. Turn to us, Almighty God. Look down from heaven at us. Come and save your people. Come and save this grapevine that you planted, this young vine that you made grow so strong. Our enemies have set it on fire and cut it down. Look at them in anger and destroy them. Preserve and protect the people you have chosen, the nation you've made so strong. We will never turn away from you again. Keep us alive and we will praise you. Bring us back, Lord God Almighty. Show us your mercy and we will be saved. Matthew 21, verse 33 to 46, the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. Listen to another parable, Jesus said. There was once a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the wine press, and built a watchtower. He then rented the vineyard to tenants and left home on a trip. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves to the tenant to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants grabbed his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. Surely they will respect my son, he said. Then, when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him, and we will get his property. So they grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owners of the vineyard comes, he will see what they. Now, when the owners of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Jesus asked. He will certainly kill them, those evil men. They answered, and rent the vineyard out to other tenants. Who will give him the share of the harvest at the right time? Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read what the scriptures say? The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And so I tell you, said Jesus, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people who will produce the proper fruits. The chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable and knew that he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus to be a prophet.
I'm sure you've probably heard that parable before, and it tells quite a horrific story, really. Got me looking into vineyards. Vineyards, of course, were important things during biblical times because people needed the food and the drink that they produced. Most people drank wine rather than water because it was seen to be cleaner and more healthy. And so vineyards were a very common sight around the countryside. Well, vineyards were often located on a hillside with a hedge or a fence around, a watchtower, and a wine press. Usually, the landowner dug a ditch around the chosen place, and threw the soil inside the ditch, and then built on the top of that a fence of branches or twigs and thorny bits on the top too. And that was for protection against wild animals and thieves. And once he'd got that ready, then the soil would be prepared for planting. It would be hoed and all the stones removed, and the best vines were chosen to be planted in the vineyard. They were planted a few feet apart to allow for growth. And they were usually allowed to fruit after 3 years. Vines are pruned so that only the healthy branches are left to bear fruit. And so for new vines, that takes 3 years of pruning to get the decent fruit beginning to grow. And the vineyard had to be looked after. It had to be kept weed-free. And a watchman would live in the watchtower to watch over the vineyard during the summer. And these watchtowers apparently were of varying heights according to the size of the vineyard. So they may be just 10 feet high or up to 40 feet high. Sometimes the watchman took their family with them as well to live in the watchtower for the summer. And then at the end of the summer, from September, the villagers worked together to gather the grapes into baskets. And this was done with much joy, because harvest was a happy time. And some of the grapes were dried, some were pressed to make syrup and wine. Sometimes the vineyards were rented out, maybe to a few families at a time, and they agreed to give a portion of the products from the grapes to the owner, who would send his servant to gather that every year. And that would maybe be grapes or raisins or wine or syrup. And so Jesus chose to talk about something that was very common and people were very knowledgeable about during biblical times, because they would know exactly how much work went into making and maintaining a vineyard and then producing the food and drink that came from the grapes each year. And it was quite a big task. So Jesus based his parable on a vineyard. But of course, with parables, they always have alternative meanings. And in this parable, God is the landowner. It's God's vineyard. And the vineyard is Israel. The farmers who look after the vines and grow the grapes are the chief priests and religious leaders who actually collected taxes to send to Rome. And the slaves that came to collect their bit for the owner each year are the prophets, with the final prophet being the Son, Jesus Christ. And we hear in the reading that all of those are rejected by the officials and the religious leaders of Israel. And it's a pretty violent story. Even the great peacemaker, God's Son, was killed by these stubborn people. A shocking series of events. Well, the Jewish leaders listening to Jesus couldn't argue that it was indeed a shocking story. But even so, they were not willing to change their ways. And the parable stood as a warning for them and could be seen as a warning for us too. Because another way of looking at the parable is that the vineyard is God's world, the whole planet Earth. Earth has been given to us to look after. Are we doing that job properly? Many people would argue that we are not. We are all expected to share what we reap from the planet. But the fruits of the planet are not shared equally. We are expected to deal justly in our ways. But do we? Equally, another alternative is to see the vineyard as the church. And when I discovered that point of view, it surprised me because I hadn't ever thought about that before. I could see the vineyard being Israel, and I could see the vineyard being God's world. But God's church was a totally different idea. But God does expect us to look after his church. We are expected to bear fruit. We are expected to be witnesses to the gospel and to share the gospel's message. And we are expected to promote justice and deal peaceably with people inside and outside the church. Can all Christians say that they do that? At the end of the parable, Jesus switches the focus from sun to stone. A change of two letters in English, only one in Hebrew. The sun, Jesus himself, will become the cornerstone of a new temple. On him will be built his church. So the Son, in the end, is vindicated. He is the one on whom we must fix our eyes if we are to do what God wants us to do. If we are to care for creation and the church, bear fruit and share and be peacemakers, Jesus is the one that shows us the way.